Happy New Year, guys. This morning, we're just finishing a year that, like Mike said, a lot of people would say was a very, very trying year. And it's not all because of COVID. Some of it's because of other things that just like normal things that happen in the span of life. But you start a new year, and people, it's new beginnings. New resolutions, new life. You're trying to turn over a new leaf. People make all these New Year's resolutions. Anybody in here have a New Year's resolution? I'm not going to ask you to say what it is, but anybody make any this year? There's a few of you guys? Okay. I'm not going to ask you how many have had them broken, because that's just not very encouraging to start January 3rd. I have a little bit of one that I thought of on the fly. I kind of have a little bit of an addiction to Dr. Pepper. Casey Culver's kind of my brother in that. He's kind of off that wagon, and I don't know if that's the right term or not. Off the wagon, on the, he's not drinking Dr. Pepper anymore, and I've kind of made this commitment that I'm gonna steer a little bit more clear of it, and my goal is to have more water than Dr. Pepper instead of just cutting it out completely, because I don't want to be a failure at it. So I'm setting attainable goals. So I hopefully you guys who started a New Year's resolution, hopefully you're doing better than I would be if I was saying cut it out completely. Well, this morning, new beginnings, new starts. I want to challenge us this morning that our goal in our lives should be to become more and more like Christ every day, every minute, every hour. And at the end of this year, seeing our lives becoming more like the life of Jesus and the heart of Jesus than we were today at this in this moment. And so if you will, turn with me to the book of John. This morning's sermon is entitled, Abide in Me. And it's in John chapter 15. So if you're looking at the, if you're looking at your Bible kind of in the middle, you get the Old and New Testaments. This is the fourth book in the New Testament. Big number 15. So John chapter 15, starting in verse 1. But in the context here is Jesus is with his disciples. In his show of servitude and humility, he washes their feet. He talks about that someone's going to betray him and he's going to his death. He talks about how he is the way and the truth and the life. There's no other way to the Father except through him. And then he promises the coming of his Holy Spirit upon his death and resurrection. And then in John chapter 15, he starts with this. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Let's pray. Father, the challenge of this life, it just has a way of stealing our attention and our affection from where it belongs. And so, God, I thank you that you are good. I thank you that you are amazing. I thank you that you are a God who's so past our wildest dreams and our thoughts that we can't even fathom. Your ways are so much higher than ours, and your thoughts are so much higher. And yet you still came down and sent your Son for us. God, I pray that we would see you this morning, and this vision of you would spur us on to become more like you in your life and your death. God, that we would fall in love with you all over again. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. I love the imagery in this passage as it talks about the branches can't do anything by themselves. We've got this, my wife, we have this above ground garden in the back, in the backyard, and my wife usually plants tomatoes and peppers, I think, sometimes. I mean, really, I do all the work, but even though I'm just kidding, I don't do all the work. She does it all for the most part, but this year, our daughter, Caroline, said she wanted to try watermelon, and which we were both really pessimistic about and thinking, there's no way watermelon's going to grow in the backyard in this above-ground garden, but we're at Home Depot, and we're looking, and we find some little watermelon plants in their pots, and we bring them, and she plants them. I didn't really see her doing it. I mean, there could be magic beans that she put in or something. I don't know, but this thing started sprouting, taking over a lot of the backyard and the above-ground garden, killing my grass, which I guess that means I'm getting older. I start caring about my lawn and my grass now, but it's killing the grass. I'm trying to mow around these branches that are branching all out. There's watermelon that's growing. And I don't know why we were so pessimistic and doubted that it could happen, but these two watermelons were growing. And I mean, I shouldn't even say this. I'm not bragging because I had nothing. I literally had nothing to do with this. Maybe I picked out the right ones. I don't know. But I literally had nothing to do with it. I brought them here because they could win an award, actually. All right, so y'all don't be jealous at the huge watermelons that grow in our backyard, but this is it right here. Now, it was pulled a little early, I think, and I don't know that Elisa told me it could never be eaten because it didn't ripen. So to me, that seems like a waste, but it's kind of pretty, and it's not very big. But this was, so the analogy doesn't go very well with what I'm preaching. I just wanted to show this off, that this actually grew in our backyard. Some of you guys have green thumbs, and you're going, that's no big deal. But that was a big deal to me. And the imagery here, this thing could not have grown on its own. We didn't go out there and water all the little branches, make sure all the little branches had their nutrients and all that. It was planted in the soil, and the soil was watered, and the nutrients and the water from the soil went through the vine to the branches, and this watermelon was produced. That's exactly the imagery that you see here with us, and some of you guys have been in the Bible much longer than I have, and this may not be new revelation to you, but this idea of us being the branches and Jesus being the vine, He is the one that produces the fruit in us. He's the one that gives us what we need so that the fruit can be produced. It's not me, and it's not you. It's Jesus producing the fruit through you. In the text, Jesus is describing God as the vine dresser. He's the one that goes and prunes the branches that are producing fruit and gets rid of the ones that are not. And it all goes back to Jesus and Him being the one that's producing this. And so I want to ask you guys, just as a quick question, just for you to assess in yourself, is your life producing fruit? Are you seeing the work of Jesus working inside your life and inside your heart? Because one thing the watermelon branches don't do is they don't say, I got this vine, I'm good, I got this, I'll produce fruit on my own. You cut the branch off, and that branch no longer produces fruit. The branch doesn't tell the vine, I got this. And so what I want to kind of get across this morning is, as we're called to be His disciples, the sad part about our story right now, especially in America, is there's a battle going on every single moment of every single day of every single one of our lives. There's a battle going on for your affection, for your heart, for your time, for your attention. There's a battle going on, and a lot of us are losing it. And I don't mean that we're losing salvation, but what I mean is our God is so big and has such an amazing plan for every single one of you guys and every single one, and like everybody, for all of us. But a lot of us are getting distracted by phones and commitments to youth sports leagues or to our jobs that are maybe overworking you, or to a pandemic that's trying to steal away from the idea that our God is still much bigger than whatever's going on down here. But this world, this enemy is a terribly awful enemy who's coming in and battling for your attention and your affection. And I think that if, you know, we start thinking about how, you know, our attendance in church is measured, and I go to church pretty often, or, you know, I read my Bible daily in the morning, or, you know, I make sure I have a little bit of a 5-minute prayer time or something in the morning. And before I go too far, I've really been challenged with this. When Mason said January 3rd, can somebody preach? It's going to start prayer week. I said, yeah, I'll do it. And then as I started getting into the text, God's been hammering me. Because transparently and honestly with you guys, I really feel like I'm one of the worst, to be honest. Because truthfully, my standard for my devotion to Jesus is so low. I mean, don't hear me wrong. I love Jesus. But I see areas where the world has taken my attention and my affection away from him and placed it on, sorry kids, stupid things that are worthless. And so as I'm telling you this, please don't hear me as saying that I'm talking to you and saying you're wrong. God has challenged me because I'm weak. And I'm living in a country where it's completely set against what Jesus wants. If I want to read the Bible, a show comes on that I really enjoy. Or if I want to spend time in prayer, that's when the dogs come down and start barking or whatever. Or that's when an emergency happens and I get a text and I have to deal with it. This world, there is an enemy trying to take away the devotion to Jesus that we should have. And I wanted to show you guys, as being this branch that needs to abide in Jesus and being completely connected to Jesus, I want to show you some of the verses. So Danny, if you'll put some of these up there, 1 Chronicles 16:34, I want to show you how good God is. 16:34, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." And Psalm 34:8, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him." Or Psalm 8, "When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him at all, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor." Or the next one, "Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to the children of man, for he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things." Or my personal favorite, Psalm 63. "Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you, and my flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and your glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. And in your name, I will lift my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you, for your right hand upholds me. Church, this does not sound like people who are talking about a God who they're really concerned about, you know, Sunday being their most important day, where they're paying attention to how often they show up to the temple, or how often they make their sacrifices, or how often they're spending time with Him. They wake up in the morning wanting to be with God. They wake up in the morning wanting to communicate with Him and to meditate on His Word. David says, early in the morning, I meditate on your Word. And I feel like I struggle with this, and I know there's probably many of you guys do too. I wake up early in the morning, hitting the snooze. I get up, and I get ready and go to work. And church is just more than that. What we just read about how good God is. You are prized by majesty. Hear that, church. You are crowned with glory and honor by the one who put the sun and the moon in its place, the waters in its place and its time, set the mountains where they are, makes the seasons change the way they do, created all the billions of people that live on the earth, and yet Jesus came for you. How important are you and valuable to the King? The only way to see this life fulfilled that we're called to become disciples, to be more like Jesus, is we have to abide in Him. And that looks different than what American church is looking like across the nation. Because across the nation, church is attendance, tithing, being a good person when you leave. Abiding in Jesus is where we wake up in the morning and Jesus is who we love more than anything else. Loving the Lord with all our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength. I don't even know what that looks like. I mean, I hope I'm not alone. That would make me really feel even worse. But to love the Lord, our God, to love God more than I love my wife and my family, how to fathom that? I mean, you guys are all wearing masks, so it's really hard to get feedback, but up here you kind of feel really alone when you say words like that. But I'm just being transparent. I struggle in that so much, and I feel like the world just pulls at you. The devil's just pulling at you all the time, your affections away from Jesus. Where it's easy to start saying, as we're producing fruit, it's easy to start saying, well, I earned it. I mean, I produce this fruit. I get up in the morning at 4 a.m. I go to work. I put in the time. I got this promotion at job because I earned it. And that may be true, but let's not forget that the reason you got this, the reason this fruit is being produced in you, is because God is working it through you. Any fruit that we produce, it comes from God, and so we have to abide in Him. It can't be, I come to God for, you know, when I need to. I come to Him every morning, and, you know, I do my duty. We have to be so in tune with God, so in tune with the heart of Jesus, that we know where He's moving when He goes. When the Holy Spirit moves a certain direction, we need to be so in tune with Him that we know where He's going. It can't be, well, I showed up to church on Sunday morning and that's good. This is a full devotion to our Savior. You guys have all been in a relationship that was severed for one reason or another. I would think so. It could be a friendship or a relationship or something. We've all been in one where a relationship was severed either by you or the other person. And usually, it's one of those things where you walk away from it and you either don't talk to each other anymore or you never see each other anymore, but it's been severed for some reason. Church, we are the reason. Jesus, we severed this relationship between us and God by sinning against Him. And Jesus came running for us. We were miserable in our sin, wholly separate from God, and He came running for you, running for me, not so that we could do our duty to Him, but so that we could love Him more than our spouses, love Him more than our parents, our children. Does your love look like that for God? And I'm not asking for, you know, feedback. I saw some nodding or shaking of heads. I'm not asking for that. This is between you and God, because between me and God, I'm in a huge struggle with that. Because I do love Jesus, but if you were to say, do you love Him more than you love your wife? Do you love Him more than your time that you want to stay up late and sleep in instead of waking up and reading His Word and talking to Him and listening to Him? A lot of times my answer is no. I want to watch a show at night and go to bed late. So I hope you hear me as I'm saying these things. If you find yourself in the same scenario that I'm describing my life. So there's two things. If you're going to abide in Jesus, if you're going to stay connected to the vine and He's going to continue to produce fruit in your life, there's two things that have to happen. We have to spend regular time in His Word. How will we ever know what God wants for you in your life if we don't know His words? This love letter that He wrote to you and to me, He wrote for us, for this life, to combat the pandemics and the political unrest and the social injustice. He wrote these words for us to be able to rise above these things and to bring others with us. But if we're not regularly in His Word, there's no way we can abide in Him. The other is that we have to pray. We have to be a church that is known as a praying church. A church that lives on its knees. This life can't be lived, and we cannot abide in Him. I keep pointing to the watermelon. We can't abide in Him if we're not in regular communication with Him. Think of your greatest relationship. Maybe a spouse or a kid. If you were to go home to your wife, your husband, or if you were to say, well, I talk to my wife in the morning once, and then I'll talk to him at night before dinner, and then right before I go to bed, I'll talk to her. That relationship is not going to grow. Communication has to be important between you and your spouse or you and the other person in this relationship for you guys to abide in each other. I think there are many people who are Christians who would say that they struggle with prayer. How many times have you heard a sermon that said that where you're taught how to pray? But some of us have been Christians for a long time and we still struggle with spending time with Jesus. But if we're going to abide in Jesus, if God's going to continue to produce fruit in us, and we are going to become disciples who look more and more like Jesus all the time, those are two things that we have to do. Those are two things that should be regular staples of our daily lives. We should be reading from His Word, and we should be spending time with Him. And the hard part is, it shouldn't be a duty or an obligation. It should be early in the morning, I wake up wanting Jesus. I go through my day wanting Jesus. I go to bed, I eat dinner wanting Jesus. I go to bed at night with Jesus on my mind. The Bible talks about prayer being a regular thing, and so much so where he says to pray without ceasing. In all things through prayer and supplication, pray for one another, pray for healing, pray for peace, pray during suffering, pray for your enemies, pray for the nation, pray for your job, pray for children. I'm saying some of these now. Some of this was in the Bible, and I'm adding to it. Pray for children. Pray for your grandchildren. Pray before meals. Pray after meals. Pray when you're blessed to see a new day. Pray when you're able to finish a day and sleep on a comfortable bed at night. Pray while you're driving. Pray while you're working or walking from one class to the other if you're in school. Pray when you see someone make a mistake on the roadways or you see someone on their phone while they're driving. I have a tendency to get frustrated when I see people driving and they're on their phone. I could be praying for them. Pray for the people who are getting picked on in class, or pray for the bullies themselves. I'm sad to say my closest times in prayer were in college, when I would pull in the parking lot. I would get out of my truck, and I would walk the half mile to class. And as I'm walking, I see people going to class, going back to the parking lot, and I'm just praying for them. Not like, you know, I didn't get hit my knees and bow my head in the middle of the walk and do a 5-minute prayer, but I'm, God, pray for this person. I don't know what they're going through, but I pray you would help give them the strength to see it through. Thank you for the good things going well in this person's life, and just little things that as soon as something pops in my head, I was praying, and I was in regular, unceasing prayer. And sadly, that's not the case now. I struggle daily on spending time in His Word, spending time in prayer. And I've caught myself at times saying, "Well, I did my Bible reading this morning. I spent time with God. We're good." I want to challenge you that that's the low-hanging fruit of Christianity. That is the so minimum standard that we would spend just a little time with God, just a little time in His Word, keeping an obligation or a duty, because that's not what it looks like when you hear the verses that we just talked about earlier. We talked about David, who wakes up in the morning and day and night he's meditating on His Word. How he yearns, his soul yearns and thirsts for God like in a dry and weary land where there is no water. These are not people who are serving God out of duty or obligation. They are mesmerized and transfixed in the love of God, that they are living their whole life for Him every moment. They're still sinning. You guys all know David's sins, but he was a man after God's heart. And that should be our desire too. And I know I've said it, but I hope you guys are hearing me say this. I am battling with this because I thought I was gonna do a deal on, okay, this is what God wants for us in prayer. And as I'm reading, God is saying, this is my message to you, Nick. That it should be an all-out love affair with the God of the universe, and not a keeping tabs of, well, I did this and I did this. It doesn't matter what we did. What's in here? Because what's in here really says more about who we are than just that we kept track of reading and praying. So, for those of if you're in the same boat that I am, where you're like, well, how am I going to do this? How I'm struggling with prayer. I'm struggling with spending time in His Word. How do I want to become a disciple. I want to be more like Jesus. How do I do that? Because right now you've been up here talking about how bad you are. I don't really like talking about how bad I am, but here's what I would tell you. You can start small. Just start with a prayer. Just one quick prayer where you ask God to create a love for him that would make all other loves pale in comparison. Church, you can't produce fruit on your own. You can't will yourself to love God. It has to come from him. So all you do, this is a prayer he wants to answer. This is not a prayer where he's going to go, I don't really want to be close to you, just stop. This is a prayer he wants to answer in the affirmative. You get on your knees and you say, Jesus, I want to love you more. Help me to do that. He will answer that prayer. And then from there, you just make little goals. I want to pray. We all have phones that help us with that. Set a timer at 8, 10, noon to remind you just to pray something small. You're sitting at work. Someone's next to you. The phone goes off. I pray for Kenny next to me. It's something small, but if you are on a regular schedule, it can train you to where you're all of a sudden praying more and more throughout the day. Because we do have to train ourselves. It can't be I'm just going to rely on God to do it all. So first, start with that prayer that God would change your heart to where you love him more than anything else. You wake up in the morning and it's all Jesus. You go through your day and it's all Jesus. Number two, set up something on your phone where it's telling you at certain times of the day, quick prayers for him. Quick prayers for whoever he puts in your mind or whatever he puts in your heart. The third one, let's just open our Bibles and read it. Get a plan. There are plenty of online plans you can find. It's not about, oh good, I read through the Bible, I'm good. Check that off the list. It's about what does God say to me and to my life through his word? How can I know God more by this? It seems simple, but again, it's a prayer that you just ask God to give you a love for his word. These are simple things. Again, the really good and positive and encouraging thing is you're not the one producing this fruit. All we have to do is to pray these prayers because God wants to create that in your life. So you pray, God, I'm struggling. I want to love you. Would you create a love for you in my heart that would create a desire to have me read more and spend time in your word or spend time with you in prayer? He will not deny you that. Scripture says that if you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you. He's not wanting to remain a mystery in that. His words are here for you. If you find yourself cutting yourself slack and saying, well, I mean, or looking at others and going, well, I'm not as bad as them, or, you know, I'm not spending a lot of time with God, but I mean, I know this person is not doing anything. I want to challenge you that you might be looking at this low-hanging fruit thing where you're keeping track of how well you're spending time with God instead of just desiring to be with him. Because church, America's not getting any easier for the Christian to live in. The devil's not trying less to take your attention and your affection. He's doing a really good job of doing it right now. And so I want to challenge you that the only way that we're going to become disciples, produce fruit, is we have to abide in him. And it can't be duty, it can't be obligation. It has to be out of a sincere and all-out devoted love to the author and perfecter of our souls. I told my wife that the relationship I was describing earlier where you're like, well, I mean, I know of God, but I don't really know his heart. It's kind of like having a middle school relationship. You guys have had middle schoolers. I teach middle school, so I see this all the time. They're just kind of, yeah, we're dating. Yeah, what does that mean? Well, I mean we're dating. We're a couple. So what do you guys do together? Nothing. I mean, I had my friend asked his friend if we if he liked me, and so he does, and so we're dating now. So what's he like? Well, I mean, he looks cute, and no, what's he like? Well, I haven't really talked to him yet. We were all there. Some of you laugh because your kids are like that. Some of you laugh because you're like that now. It is the dumbest thing, and yet at the same time, we've all been there, and we laugh because we've seen it. But that's the relationship that some of us have with the Father, where we're like, I don't really know what God's doing. I don't really know his character, but I know I love him. So this morning, I want to challenge you. If there's anything that I have said that has challenged you at all from his word, it's 2021. It's a new year. Let's do something. Let's love Jesus more. Above all other things, band, if you guys want to come up, this is the year. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. We're not guaranteed 2022. We are guaranteed that if we will seek after our Savior with all of our heart, our mind, and our strength, he will be found by us. If you read the Song of Solomon, Song of Songs, never in there do you hear any kind of obligated love. It is a love affair. And that's what this book is for us, that we will love our Father and our Savior above all other things. So if that's you this morning, if there's any kind of challenge in that for you, if you're standing here with me or sitting there as I'm standing here saying, and you're hearing, like, this is, if you would say, that's where I am, I've struggled with all this, let's do something about it. I know it's a pandemic. I'm not asking you guys to get closer. I do want to tell you, this altar is open. This front floor is open. The area to the side is open. If you need to hit your knees, some of us may not have gone prostrate before God in a long time. Could today be the day where your life changes because God creates a love for you in your heart, a love for him in your heart? This altar is open. This space is open. If you need to get to your knees, we do need to be a church where we're constantly dusting off our knees from getting before God. I'm going to close with a prayer from Charles Spurgeon. And if that's you this morning, if you need to start with that prayer that just says, God, I just need to love you more. Would you fill me with a love for you that surpasses all other loves? You don't have to come up here. There's nothing special about this space, square foot of area. But I will say, sometimes it takes action to get us doing something. Sometimes we can just sit there and go, yeah, I'll pray it. And then we get up and we're back to our normal lives. Sometimes it takes some kind of an action. When Jehoshaphat and his army were being surrounded by all these armies, the Bible says it wasn't until they started praising God that God threw the other armies into an ambush. They could have sat in there and just said, we trust God's going to protect us. But they did something, and then God did the work. So if that's you this morning, bow a knee. Go to the front. Go to a place where they're 6 foot apart, but don't just stay where you were in 2020. Because no matter where you were in 2020, and you could have said that year was great, my devotion to Jesus was great, it could still be better. Because our goal is to become more like Jesus every day. That's what he wants. I hope that's what you want. So I'm going to pray, and then they're going to play a little bit. And after I pray, if you need to go somewhere around the room, if you need to get on a knee, let's let God make this a great year in your life. Let's pray.